Father, we are grateful this evening hour for this moment that we have. Indeed, O God, we have come here because we want to say publicly, we place you, O God, in the highest step. For there is no other God, Father, there is no other image. There is no other worship that we can give, Lord, but unto Thee only. And Father, we thank you for the faithful that could come together despite the bad weather, O God. Despite, O God, the road conditions, you've been gracious, Lord, to grant safe traveling mercies to your people. And tonight we ask of you one more time, O God, that you strengthen your servant, our dear Pastor Tony Gurulal. O God, even as he would bring and minister the word of God, Father, we thank you for the faithfulness. We thank you for the gift that you could give to him. Indeed, O God, our hearts have been stirred and blessed with the meeting last night. And we know tonight, O God, you have a greater unfolding, O Father, of your precious word. We pray for those on the way, O God. May, O God, you bring them safe to the tabernacle. We also pray for the believers, the Lord, across the world that are streaming in this evening hour. Father, we ask of you for your blessings and your grace upon them as well. Even as we continue, Father, we believe, O Father, tonight that one more time, O Father, that our hearts one more time will be raised and burning with desire to know God, even as your word will be broken to us. Do bless us, we pray, as we continue now. We give you glory and ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody say that. God bless you, brothers and sisters. You may take your seats tonight. It's good to see each one of you tonight. God richly bless you. We thank you for coming together tonight to hear the word of God, the seventh seal and the seven thunders unfolding. And I'm sure last night that you have been inspired and you have been blessed. It's a subject that is very, very rarely taught, a subject that is very rarely even spoken about. For 25 years I've been as a minister, and every time I heard somebody speak, they spoke only a cliche. They would say, you know, that's the mighty angel, that's Revelation 10:7, that's the third pull, that's the seven thunders, but nothing further. Nobody has ever, and we thank God for the gift that God has given to our dear Pastor Tony, a man of God that has went around establishing churches as Paul went out teaching as an apostle, teaching people and raising up men to love the Lord. And we see one more time that our dear brother has been doing excellent, pastor has been excellent work in the islands. And as I said to you, we've had some tremendous meetings this weekend at Pretoria. Whilst our dear Pastor Tony is getting himself ready, what had happened was the meetings were scheduled to be in Midrand, and just like normally when we travel, our reputation runs before us. So before we could even get there, the people cancelled the venue, and we had to change it. So lots of people that wanted to be at the Midrand meeting couldn't make it because the meeting had to move to Pretoria. But you see, to us it might look like a disappointment, but when we move to Pretoria, we find there's about 15 people there. Amen. So sometimes you might think, well, you know, why these things are not working out and so forth. But God has a better plan, you know, better plan for us. Because we were expecting the meeting to be in Midrand, but it never took place. It was changed and so forth. So sometimes, you know, you might say, but Lord, you know, the rain is so heavy. And if only the rain wasn't so heavy, then everybody would be here. But you see, God has a different plan and purpose for everything. Amen? As you heard last night, it's not for everybody. This is only for the elect. Amen? Because the bride is caught up in the mystery of the seventh seal. Not seven seals. The seventh seal. And we know under that seventh seal, that's where the seven thunders are. And that's where the hidden things of God are. Because we are not caught under the ministry of Revelation 3:14. Amen. The church is preaching, but we're caught under a ministry that can give us faithful rapture. Amen. So you'd find at Pretoria, we've already have the elders there. There's brother Teach. Brother Teach was one of the ministers that used to assist one of the established message churches, and a lot of people had come to know the message via him. And he is the brother of Brother James, the elder in Zimbabwe. So because there's two works that were started in Zimbabwe, in Harare, and another. So Brother James, before he could go come down to Cape Town Convention, it's a strange thing how God works. The bus that he was traveling in broke down, and he couldn't get to the convention because the convention was starting that Friday. But for the time that he had in Cape Town, he was talking to Brother Teach about the message, and this Brother Teach began to see there were some things about it, and so he left a couple of the sermons of Brother Tony and he was listening to it, and he had a lot of questions and so forth. So when these meetings took place on that Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, brothers and sisters, I can tell you, if there are people that had a passion for the word, was there, and some of them came with an agenda. We did not know that, because I took the Thursday meeting and Pastor Tony took the Friday meeting, and so they came in on Friday with the hope to disrupt the meetings. But we thank God for the gift, the way the gift handled those questions, because they were trying to actually sidetrack or sabotage the meeting, to move it into another direction, so that, you know, when you have an elect there, you'd find there'll always be somebody to try to take them away from the truth. So that was the purpose, to try and move the conversation or the discussion away from the ministry, but to something else. But Pastor was so with so much of wisdom, was able to handle it and dismiss it, and we only got knowledge of it when the meetings were about to end, you know, the weekend, when they said, well, these men came in to disrupt the meetings, so they never came back for the other meetings. So what I'm saying to you tonight is that everything is in the hand of God. Amen. Everything is in the hand of God. What takes place, how many people come and so forth, is in the hand of God. Do remember Pastor Tony, he leaves on Thursday. From Friday onwards, he's got another 1 month mission trip. Okay, if he wants to tell you where he's going, he can tell you. But it's a month-long mission trip, in grounds that has never been traveled by this ministry of Son of Man. So we're praying that somewhere along the line, that wherever the Lord takes him, that the ground will be broken and there will be elect out coming. Because Brother Brown says he believes that the last seed will come from Africa. Amen. And there's a tremendous desire right now for this truth. Amen. You love the Lord? Amen. Amen. Let's rise to our feet as our dear pastor will grace the pulpit tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I love him. I love him. I love him.
Just my thankful one more time for an opportunity to serve you, opportunity to be in your hands, instruments, Lord, at your bidding. Your children are guarded here, Father.
Inclement weather, Father.
But here they are standing. They seek not, Lord, silver or gold. And certainly they did not come here to be seen or to be heard, but they came, Lord, with expectation that you would bless them. They've come, Father, to sit at your feet and, Lord, to make an investment. And we believe, Lord, that you are the best investment we can make. You are the best stock market, Lord, a stock that we can think of, Lord. A sure thing, a certain thing, a sure rock, Father. And may you, O God, pour a blessing upon their investment. May they leave here, O God, greater drawn to thee, even more transformed in the renewing of their minds, elevated, Lord, in faith and strength and virtue, that they can go forth and continue to grow, Lord, in grace, as we see this untoward generation upon us, Lord. We ask now for everyone that would hear, Lord, the elders especially, that you would come and you would enlighten them, knowing that their great responsibility, Father, is placed upon each and every one of our shoulders. Help us now, anoint the speaker, anoint the hearer, and Lord, let your word go forth and let it produce that which it promised, faith and deliverance. In Jesus' name we ask these things and we bless you, Father. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 25 and Revelation chapter 4. And the time is slipping away really quickly from us. As you can see, the subject is quite big, and we would like to do all we can to get as much as we can in the time that is allotted to us. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." And all these virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for the lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh." Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. I'd like to read one more portion of scripture, and that is Revelation chapter 4 and 1. And after this, after the church ages were over, after this, the church ages are Revelation chapter 2 and 3. And after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, as it were the voice of a trumpet, talking with me, saying, "Come up hither, I will show thee these things which must be hereafter." Amen. Once again, I'd like to continue. And we are doing, a study on the seventh seal and the seven thunders, the seventh seal and the seven thunders. And by now, of course, you know that the seven thunders are under the seventh seal. Is that right? And, of course, you are going to find a statement in the breach message where Brother Branham, before he came to the seventh seal, he said the seven angels who holds these seven thunders. But then when he came to the seventh seal, he said that one angel, that peculiar angel, the one with the seventh seal, that's where those thunders were. And he said, "Did you notice?" He said, "I saw it unfold, and it unfolded into these thunders."
So we are looking at this seventh seal, and yesterday I told you that we are going to follow the text or the study the way the prophet unfolded, and I'm going to try to do as much as I can with it. And before we do that, I want to put in some rules. And the first rule of thumb is a law that the seventh seal equals the seventh trumpet. The seventh seal is the end time Gentiles. And the seventh trumpet is the 144,000 Jews. And therefore, the end time Gentiles is going to be the wise virgin. And 144,000 is going to be the Jewish virgins. All right. So now, the reason I want to do this is because when Brother Branham preached 1 to 6 seals, and then he had questions and answers, and then he preached the seventh seal. Well, for his text for the seventh seal, he said, I have nothing to go on, because under Revelation 8 and 1 is just silence. He said, I have nothing to go on. And then he takes the text, Revelation chapter 7, 1 to 4. And then, this is written in Revelation chapter 6. And this is written in Revelation chapter 8. So, this scripture that he's taking is Revelation 7, which is there. Now, we want to examine it. We started looking at it and why it is important. So, let's first make the rules up, or make the laws that he has given us. Every time he gives you a statement, anytime you read in your Bible that something is, like love is, in mathematics, is will be almost equal to equal sign. Love is keeping his commandment. Well, keeping his commandment is love. Is that right? So, keeping the commandments or love, you can substitute anyone, and it's love. Right? So, learn some laws, because that's the only way your Bible will become a new book, is not by the information, it's by the concepts. Is means an equal sign in your Bible. Now, quote, Feast of the Trumpets. Notice now exactly the continuity of the scripture, exactly the same. Under the seventh trumpet is to Israel the same as the seventh seal was to the church. Is that good? Okay. All right. So we are looking here. So the seventh trumpet is to Israel, in other words, what the seventh seal is to the church. Now, if I only have silence, but I know what the seventh trumpet is, then I know what the seventh seal is. Yes, is that right? Now, remember, if you try to follow a prophet and the way God is teaching him and unfolding, you might come to the conclusion, but you don't know if you're going to the right route. Because many people come to the same conclusion, but their doctrine is still wrong, because how they got there, their conclusion, they bent certain things to get there. It's like somebody who did a math problem, right? But the technique they used, the teacher said, we don't want you using that technique, because there are certain rules that you take for granted that doesn't always work in every condition. You understand that, right? We try to follow the pattern laid out by the prophet. Why did he use Revelation 7? He said, because we have nothing else to go on. That's what he said. He said, because there's nothing else to go on. Therefore, we go on what he went on. Right? And so he goes on to say now, it's a bitter persecution against Israel. Watch it. A bitter persecution against Israel. Because it's been the time calling him now back to the atonement. It's calling him to the atonement. What is the atonement? The full word or the revelation of Jesus Christ. The atonement is the full word. Or the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the atonement. Hear what he says. Calling him back to the atonement. He is still under the atonement of a natural lamb. So he's under Moses' law. And he's under Jewish traditions. He's under doctrines of men. Okay. He's still under the atonement of the natural lamb. The real lamb of God is the atonement. The real lamb of God is the atonement. And he has rejected it. When? 2,000 years ago. And the blood has been upon him ever since. Because they said, let his blood be upon us and our children. And it has been. Notice. Hear what he says. Notice. Making ready the people. Making ready the people. How perfect then the seventh trumpet and the seventh seal is. Because the seventh seal is making me ready to meet the Lord in the air. Is that right? Now, I want you to notice. There is the revelation of the atonement. And then you meet the atonement himself. Right? Amen. In other words, Joseph is going to be revealed to the 144,000, but then they'll meet Joseph themselves. Right? Because you cannot get the Holy Ghost by seeing Christ. You have to get the Holy Ghost by the revelation of who he represents. Is that right? That's the only way you can get the Holy Ghost is by revelation. It is by faith. You must accept him by faith. Is that right? So the revealing of Joseph is the revealing of him in word and in power. Making known to him that it was God in Christ and that was the Son of God. Now for us now to meet the Lord in the air, we've got to come now and have him reveal himself to us, because us heathens were Trinitarians and oneness. So under this seventh seal, he is going to reveal himself, the fullness of the word, the revelation of Jesus Christ complete, that we would know him, and when we know him, we'll come to the same conclusion of John 17 and 3. Can we throw that up? What's now? To make a people ready and to bring them to the full truth. Now they're going to get a baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're going to get eternal life, isn't it? And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. That is what the end time atonement is going to bring us back to. One God who had a son, and you cannot know that God without the son. Amen. They're not one like your finger, but you cannot separate them. Otherwise, you'll never know him. Is that right? So you're looking that what is going to happen to the Jews when their Joseph is revealed to them is because our Joseph was revealed and we marry him. So, they are being called to the full word. We are being called by the full word. They are being called back to the atonement they reject. We are coming back to the atonement that they have perverted. Alright. So, I gave you two pieces here. One, the seventh trumpet and the seventh seal is perfectly together. Watch the words. Notice, making ready a people, how perfect then the seventh trumpet and the seventh seal is. Perfectly together. And then he draws the persecution, which we know is going to be what we call the squeeze. Right? they are going to know it as Jacob's trouble. All right, again. Note, after the second war, 200 million demons on ministers and church is equal to Revelation 3:20, the Son of Man put out of the church. That officially came into manifestation on Good Friday, 1964, when Alaska earthquake shook. All right, let's look at that. Now, I want you to notice this. Watch the quote. Notice the loosening of this ecclesiastical spirit. Now, 20 years later, 45. Remember, 1990 to 1945. So, if you take 45, 55, 65, you're right on the junction of 20 years. Right? And this is preached in 1964. Notice the loosening of this ecclesiastic spirit. Now, 20 years later, after that, we see the loosening of the ecclesiastic spirit. What under? The seventh seal, the seventh trumpet to the Jews. Watch. In other words, the 200 million demons that was let loose on Stalin, Hitler, and Mussolini, that is called the Feast of the Trumpets. That is to harden Pharaoh's heart, to drive the children out of Israel, out of Egypt, is that right? That is to harden their heart, to bring them back into their homeland. Israel has to go back into their homeland. Is that right? And we find that the prophet said that those spirits now come in the ecclesiastic realm or the church realm. And it comes and it's anointing the ministry, not only the Protestants and the Catholic, but also the twins in the message to persecute. What's that? It's a persecution that is upon the bride. First it's going to be religiously, and then it's going to be greater in the squeeze. He's paralleling these two things are going to happen. I don't know about you, but have you felt the squeeze lately, Brother Henry? Have you felt the 200 million demons? If you haven't felt it, let's go tell somebody what you believe about your God in Durban and see what happens. Why? It's the hardening of the twin ministry in the church. It's the hardening of their heart towards the people of God, which Israel is the people of God, and we are the Israel of God today. Amen. So it's the hardening, not of the politician's heart, it's the hardening of preacher's heart against the true bride, the true Israel of God. Just like the 200 million demons, their hearts were hardened, Stalin, Hitler, Mussolini, politically, militarily, against the natural Jews. It's a spirit. They don't know what they're doing. Sometimes they don't even know you. They only hear something. And they've already hated you and your doctrine. You see, they don't know why it is. Right? It is those demons that the prophet said, they are supernatural demons. You can't see them with the natural eye. But the bride can see what they are doing. Right? Follow again. They don't know what spirit is upon them. Now, so it's on the ecclesiastic realm to do what? To harden their heart against the Israel of God. Now, those 200 million demons are not finished with the Jews. Now, they are going to come now and anoint the Pope. And the Pope now is going to gather all the ecclesiastic realm because the bride will be gone. But he's coming back again to persecute the 144,000. The persecution of Israel, the nation, is done. It's finished. They are going to throw their lot in with the Pope. They're going to throw their lot in with the Pope. Wall Street is throwing their lot in. Eventually, they're going to come together and make a covenant. Is that right? Only the 144,000 will be considered the Jews. And what do you think they're going to do to them? Kill them in the streets of Jerusalem. Who's going to do it? The religious world is going to make sure that they are killed. Because it's now in the ecclesiastical realm. I hope you're following. I'm trying to draw you a pattern. They say seventh seal is not open. Some of them say it's open, but they don't know what's going on there. But for the bride, this is your promise. This is your seal. Amen. It's as clear as reading a newspaper. Right? Because it's your promise. You don't have to beg for it. God promised you it. This is your part of the land. This is what you must take. And if you go with that faith, you will possess it. Now follow. I'm reading it again slowly. Notice the closing, the loosening of this ecclesiastical spirit. It's ecclesiastical now, but it was military and political in Hitler days because they were called trumpets and trumpets are political. Right? Notice the loosening of this ecclesiastical spirit. Now, 20 years later, after that, we see the loosening of the ecclesiastical spirit. What under? The seventh seal. Now, this is where some of you are going to maybe depart with your own ideas. Just remember, if you're a lay member and you have your ideas, you ought to be up here. You have no ideas outside of what is taught to you by your headship. Remember that. That's a hard thing to swallow. God doesn't want individuals. This is a body work today. And first it moves from here to head, you are the body. Is that right? And then on an individual basis, you say you'll be judged for what you do with that. You say, Brother Tony, but I'm going to be saved as an individual. You're going to be saved as an individual, but you're a body work and the pastor is going to answer for you. Did he not say that? That your husband will answer for you? Well, you are going to, because what makes you in the body? The new birth. And once you come in, you're a member of the body. So now the mind is here, you are the body. If you want this mind that was in Christ to be in you, you can't have it without William Branham. Is that right? He was the mind of Christ. And if you want the mind of Christ, it must be in the pastor. Is that right? And if you want the mind of Christ, it must be in your husband. And if it's in your husband, it will be in the wife. Right? It doesn't come down as an individual and say, I'm looking for the mind of Christ. That's what first generation want to teach you. God don't do anything outside of the order. He keeps his order of headship. Because anything outside of headship is confusion. Okay? That's the way it works. Amen. Now, follow again. The seventh seal, the seventh trumpet to the Jews. When was it? Now, you see how he noticed, he says, let loose an ecclesiastical realm. Well, it is let loose an ecclesiastical realm from the time the bride seal becomes available. And the bride seal becomes available in 1946. Seventh seal opens in part, but not revealed. All seals open in part. Did he teach you that? But Joseph, what's the pattern? In every age, a seal open, a message drops. The messenger catching the message in part, not fully revealed, goes forth and sound that trumpet. Is that right? The believer believes and is sealed. Right? Then a temporary plague or judgment falls. Has that been in every age? First age, second age, third age. Well, when do you think the seventh church age starts? The seventh church age starts 1906. Laodicea starts 1906. This is the seventh church age starting in 1906. When does the fourth seal start? Well, a seal cannot start without a church age. Is that right? Well, when did the church age start? It started here. So when did the fourth seal start? Here. With the church age. Can't hear you. Is Ephesus under the white horse rider? Did Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira under the ox? The man, Luther and Wesley under the man? Do you think an age could come without a seal? When did your Laodicean age start? Well, then when did the fourth seal start? It's not important that you read the material alone. It's important you place it rightly. it's important you understand the material. Right? I know what they tell you. You know, you don't need to understand. If I don't need to understand, I'll stay home. Because you all can read English in the books, right? Somebody has to break it down. And Brother Bam said, man will come down and break it down for you. That's what he said. Okay. Now, is this true? Well, in 1946, the seventh seal opens. In part. How do you know that, Brother Tony? Because you have Luke 21:27 saying, I see the Son of Man coming in power, which is two pearls, first two pearls in power from 1946 and 1963. That's the first two pearls. But in 1963, that's the third pearl. So Revelation 10:1 is the Son of Man coming in cloud and great glory. Is that not true? Now I want to ask you a little question. How many poles is under the Son of Man? Three. Let's forget about this. Let's say, Brother Tony, nobody never taught us that. They wouldn't. That first generation wouldn't teach you that. They taught you 62 was the coming of the Lord. They won't teach you that. Right? Let's forget this. Let's say, Brother Tony, you're not, I can't handle that. I like 63. It's a good number. Let's come to 63 now. Did not the prophet tell you that this seventh thunder, Revelation 10:1, is the third pole? Did he not tell you that's the seventh seal? Well, if the seventh seal had the third pole, and the third pole is the same ministry of the Son of Man, when did the Son of Man start? How many would like me to say that clearly? Did you catch that? Let's see. Brother Tony, you're wrong. 46. There's no seventh seal there. All right. Let's assume there's not. I'm going to come over to the prophet message that you're familiar with. In the seventh seal, did he not tell you Revelation 10:1 is the seventh seal? Did he not tell you under there seven thunders? Did he not tell you that's the opening of the word? Did he not connect it with the ten vision and the sword in the hand? Did he not say that's the third pole? Well, if the third pole is not the ministry of the Son of Man, the Son of Man has how many poles in it? Well, we only see in one. Where did the other two start? So what are you telling me? The first two pole was under the fourth seal? Son of Man is not lion, ox man, and eagle. Son of Man is God himself. Right? Lion, ox man, and eagle anoint church age messengers. Is that right? But Son of Man is the fullness of the word. When Brother Branham was preaching from 46 to 63, what he preached could be corrected. Is that right? Because that's a church age messenger. He's anointed with the fourth seal. But at the end of the service, you say, you know who I'm waiting for? He's not waiting for no fourth seal anointing. He's waiting for God himself to come. Right? And anoint him, because those two pulls never makes mistakes. Alright? I know you know these things, but these things build. You have to build on them, you see? So, when did the seventh seal start? In part. 1946. And that was 1946 to 1963, that's in power. Then from 63 to 65, it's cloud and great glory. So Luke 21:27 is the seventh seal. Again now. Look, here's what he's saying now. He already ties it. Notice this ecclesiastic spirit now, 20 years later after that, we see the loosening of the ecclesiastic spirit under what? The seventh seal. Did you get that? When did the ecclesiastic spirit let loose? Under what seal? But where did seventh seal start? In other words, from 1946, the 2 million demons stop anointing the politicians to hate the Jew and start anointing the religious world who is eventually going to be against William Branham. And then will be against his ministry, against his people, and eventually it will come out to be a squeeze against us. All Right? Let me read it again so you can see, is Brother Tony not saying this? Notice the loosening of this ecclesiastical spirit now 20 years later after that war. We see the loosening of the ecclesiastic spirit, what under? The seventh seal, the seventh trumpet to the Jews. Now, how is that ecclesiastic spirit going back? He already killed all the 6 million Jews, but this to the Jews under the seventh trumpet, under the seventh trumpet, the persecution is only against the true 144,000. So that means the persecution against the bride, it will only be against the bride, because they will only go after the foolish virgin after the bride is gone. And the persecution starts with ministers in a message who are not converted. The hardening of their heart against the Israel of God. So when you see a man, you know, so I hate that doctor, it's not him. It's not him. And listen, it's only one in a million that's going to make it. Right? It's only one. And tell me where in Durban they preach this. Tell me where in Durban Brother Louis can go and they'll preach this. They are following blind men for years who they grew up with, who know they know nothing, and they're still willing to follow it. Why? Because they worry about what other people think. Now, Brother Tim, what do you say? Good men who heart tell them these things are the truth, and they kick, and then they go back and they eat the same old thing again. Until the last line is crossed one day. Everybody happy? So let's see if this is right. If I can prove Revelation 7, if I can prove the seventh trumpet, then I just prove to you seven seals open. There's only one part of the seventh seal is not known. And that's the coming of the Lord, the hour He's coming. That's not revealed. Souls in prison, people quote it all the time, but they don't read it properly. Souls in prison says, I think I have it here. Let me read it for you. Do I have it? Yeah, I do. No, I don't have it. Sorry. Maybe it's here. No, I don't. I'm sorry. I thought I had it. Okay. All right. So let's make a pattern here. I did it here already. Right. So when he comes to the Revelation, the seventh seal, he takes Revelation 1 to 4. Revelation 7, 1 to 4. Let's take it slowly again. Let's take it slowly again. And I'm going to put the seventh seal here. Let's go. Revelation 8 and 1. Okay. I don't know. Can we go to these scriptures? Revelation 7, 1 to 4. Draw a line. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. And this is very important. Notice he'll gather them from the four corners of the earth in Matthew 24:31. Is that right? Four corners of heaven. That the wind shall not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees. The wind there is the war and strife. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. We know that that's the seventh trumpet seal. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the tree, till we have sealed the servants, not the bride, of our God in their forehead. Now, I want to ask you, who is the we? The prophet said Moses and Elijah. Is that right? Are they prophets? All right. Are they prophets? They are prophets. All right. Now, so they are prophets. If there are prophets on this side for the seventh trumpet, what is going over on that side? Son of Man. Son of Man is going over because Moses and Elijah is going to be revealed. It's going to reveal, and revealing takes prophets. Is that right? So that's Son of Man here. That means there's going to be Son of Man here. Now over here we see Revelation 10, 1 to 7. Alright? Now, before I go here, let's look and make sure that this is Son of Man. Let us go to Revelation 14. And 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. Sound familiar? And upon the cloud, one sat like what? The Son of Man. Right? Having in his head a golden crown. Well, why? Because when the bride goes up in the rapture under the seventh seal, she crowns him. And when he comes down to anoint Moses and Elijah after the supper, he's already king. I can't hear you. Is that right? So this scripture is telling me there's a Son of Man who comes after, amen, the bride crowns him. Right? Now, okay, so that's Revelation 14, 14. Now let's go to Revelation 10, 1. So if he's Son of Man, he has to have somebody, some prophet to anoint, right? So these prophets are Son of Man. Okay. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. Oh, that's Son of Man. That's the third pull. He's coming with the opening of the word. And there is a prophet on the earth at that time, which they have the we. Right? We have Revelation 10:7. Is 10:7 going to be the fulfillment that the Son of Man being revealed on the earth? It is, isn't it? Alright, so we have a cloud, we have a cloud. We have Son of Man, we have Son of Man. Here we see, we know that this Son of Man is not our Son of Man, because if he's not crowned here until we crown him, and we don't crown him until the supper. Is that right? Then he comes back here. Alright? Okay, again. So we have clouds on both sides. Now, watch carefully. Then I have Luke 21, 27. And then shall they see the seven churches that never saw the Son of Man coming. So this has to be in the seventh age. And we are in the seventh age. And I told you that the seventh seal starts 1946 with power. So, it's Son of Man coming, not with cloud first, that was 63. That's the third pull. But with power, 1946. Did we see that? The Son of Man coming in cloud, power, and great glory. We have already seen that. You'll never see that again. That today, that scripture has already been fulfilled. Will not happen again. Now, let's go to Revelation 1 and 7. Did we see that? We saw that, right? And behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they which pierced him, and all kings of the earth shall wail because of him. That is not our day. We never see that. That goes over to the Jews. Then it says, and then we shall see the Son of Man. Then also they will see the Son of Man. But when they see him, they will wail, they will mourn.